The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And with so many things happening, the draft 3 hours away, Tebow perhaps coming back to the NFL to play for Urban. There's also the NIL issue. And even though most of us thought there would be a showdown toward the end of the year, at the end of the summer, there's a lot going on in the state of Florida right now. And this is a headline in a stunning change. Florida pushes to delay its state's NIL law until 2022. Darren Heitner is a sports entertainment legal expert. He's a professor as well at UF Law School, and he has been in the middle of this for many, many years. Darren, thank you. It's great to have you back on our program, and I'm going to ask you, as we say hello to you, to explain what has been going on in your state and why so many people, including head coaches, are hopping mad. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me back. Yeah, so last year we signed a bill into law. Governor DeSantis championed this bill, providing name, image, and likeness rights to Florida athletes as of July 1 of this year. We were the very first state to provide these important rights as of July 1 of this year, and we've had three states follow suit: Mississippi, Alabama, and New Mexico, and other states thinking about doing the same. Georgia could have its bill with the July 1 effective date also signed into law by its governor. Iowa and other states are thinking about doing the same. All of a sudden, without any fanfare prior to it, yesterday at the tail end of the session, an amendment was snuck into a bill, a piece of legislation that has absolutely nothing to do with college sports, a bill that talks about charter schools, an amendment to change the effective date from July 1, 2021, to July 1, 2022. And as you mentioned, in the past 24 hours since that amendment was put into the legislation, which was passed by both the House and the Senate in Florida, we've seen coaches, head coaches at UF, UM, FSU, all speak out publicly. We've seen Blake James, the athletic department advisor at the University of Miami, say that he's not in favor of it, that it should stay July 1, 2021. And so everyone's up in arms. Now it will go to Governor DeSantis. But to be clear, the law has not yet changed. There still is an effective date of July 1, 2021. It will not be until or if Governor DeSantis signs this new bill into law that the effective date is changed to a year later.
So, Darren, just so we all understand, if DeSantis does what many are urging him to do, what will happen then?
You're saying if he vetoes the legislation?
Right, exactly.
If he vetoes the legislation, then we keep the effective date of July 1, 2021, and we're in line with the other states that have passed their respective legislation allowing athletes these important rights. So as soon as the clerk provides this bill to Governor DeSantis, he will have 14 days to decide what to do with it. At that point in time, if he doesn't do anything, it will turn into law, but he has the opportunity to veto it. He cannot issue what's called a line item veto. He can't just take this right of publicity issue, this name, image, and likeness issue out of the charter school bill. So he would have to veto the whole bill altogether. And there are elements that he certainly likes about it.
And he is a very popular governor right now, and he's also considered perhaps a front runner to run for president in 4 years. I know I'm asking you a political question, not a legal question, but what's your best guess on what he is going to do?
I think he has a lot of pressure. And again, this is somebody who in July of last year signed the piece of legislation at University of Miami Athletic Facility, has been saying that this is a great move for Florida athletes. These are rights that they deserve, and it will provide a recruiting advantage to schools in the state. All of a sudden, Florida can go from a state where UM, UF, FSU has a recruiting advantage to being behind the eight ball and allowing schools in Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia to use this to their advantage and to the schools in the state of Florida's disadvantage. So if I had to make a guess, I would think that especially after all the pressure he's received over the past 24 hours, and I don't expect that to lighten up, that Governor DeSantis makes a move and vetoes this bill.
Yeah, and if people are wondering, does he have a school tie? No, he doesn't. He went to Yale and Harvard, so he's not going to be brought in. But he understands the politics of that state, having just won a bruising gubernatorial race, and he can read the tea leaves quite well. Let me ask you broadly, because Florida is like many people, is like many other states, waiting to see what happens here. What is your best guess in terms of the national question? You know, what's going to happen with, if is Congress going to do anything? And if they don't, where are we on July 1st?
The NCAA is certainly begging Congress to do something. The NCAA originally said it was going to pass its own legislation on this subject. That was back in January of this year. It has punted. It is certainly waiting for a decision in a Supreme Court case of Alston versus the NCAA. But since then, it has said and basically asked the federal Congress to do something about it. There are six different pieces of legislation on Capitol Hill. We don't know which one, if any, will actually make it to the floor for a debate. And so in the meantime, you've had state by state action being taken, again, with Florida initially leading the pack. And all of a sudden, it looks like, you know, Florida's making a move in the opposite direction. But if it was my guess between now and July 1, it's more likely than not that the federal government does not pick one of those pieces of legislation or create a new one, actually debate it, have it passed, and put in front of President Biden to sign.
Darren Heitner with us. Darren, there's so many aspects of NIL that I don't think any of us really understand very well. Considering where you have been and the role you have played, how are they, aside from the Florida situation, once we get to this point, how are they going to make this work without a uniform bill in Congress? And secondly, who's going to legislate it?
So, again, right now it's a state-by-state issue, much like, let's say, athlete agents in the past, sports agents, that they have been regulated on a state-by-state basis. They've been licensed. And so under the state-by-state laws, which, by the way, happen to be very similar in nature, there's not much disparity between those that have been passed thus far, it would be up to the states to regulate. And basically all of the states that have passed this type of name, image, and likeness legislation have affirmatively said no conference, the NCAA, no school can prevent an athlete from entering into endorsement deals, from licensing their name, images, and likenesses to third parties, from creating camps, from creating their own businesses, from simply making money off the field, off the court. Now, there certainly are some exceptions, and state by state, there are certain prohibitions if those contracts would compete with existing school sponsorships. But by and large, the idea, the premise of all of this is to give these athletes the rights that should have never been taken away from them. And so it's a personal rights issue. And it's interesting to see, first of all, here in the state of Florida, it was absolutely bipartisan. Republican, Democrat, almost everyone was in favor of it. We weren't even the first state. California, you know, Florida's generally Republican. California, perhaps the most liberal state in the country, was the first state to pass this type of legislation with an effective date of 2023. So you really see the broad-based support no matter what side of the aisle you sit on. And again, at a basic standpoint, these bills are one and the same. It's to provide these rights to the athletes.
Darren, assuming we get there, and again, none of us know how it's going to look. We know how it will look in individual states, but What will it mean to players in terms of what is your best guess on what the upside is and is there any cap on what they're going to be able to make?
Absolutely no cap. Free market, which again, talking about politics, you know, Republicans tend to love. There's no cap. The market dictates what the athletes will be able to earn. Now, certainly, while there will be equality of opportunity among non-revenue and revenue athletes, there will also certainly be disparity between the quarterback at the University of Florida and the swimmer, the female swimmer at the University of Florida. That said, it's about having those opportunities. So there are instances, the NAIA already allows athletes to benefit from their names, images, and likenesses And there's a story about a female volleyball player who's already been able to pay off a lot of her debt and is saving up to buy a home just based on her ability to make money off of her social media, in particular on Instagram. So I think what we'll see, again, is certainly disparity in terms of what the athletes are able to earn, but just the mere ability to earn beyond their scholarship and full cost of attendance is valuable in my mind.
Darren Heitner, just a fantastic conversation about what is currently going on in Florida, but is also going on across the country. Darren, come back soon. We really appreciate your time very, very much.
Thanks, Paul.
Great stuff. It really answered a lot of questions. And I think that's really the problem with this. And you know, unless you are involved on the inside, there are many questions that are complex, but I think what he said there is the most interesting. It's a free market system. And we will take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. How is it possible that Tim Tebow, who hasn't played a down in the NFL since 2012, could be upstaging the number one pick in the city of Jacksonville? Well, we'll talk more about that as we continue.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we've got softball Sunday with two of the best teams in the country, Arkansas at LSU, 6 p.m. And Rick is up next in Tennessee. Hey, Rick, good afternoon.
Oh, wow, Paul. I didn't think I was getting on. Rick from Knoxville, Tennessee, former legislator. I actually passed sports betting in the state of Tennessee, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you so much.
Real quick. Oh, yeah. Big fan of yours, Paul. Real quick, your guest has some great statements about that piece of legislation, but just for the listeners, with that legislation passing both houses, even if the governor doesn't sign it, it'll get a public chapter number, and that'll allow for it to become law. Even if he was to veto it because it passed in both houses, it could still go. What they would have to do is they would have to reconsider their action, okay, and then take it back that way. But the governor having power of that bill going forward and stopping it from becoming law, it just doesn't take that action when it passes both houses like that.
Okay. I appreciate that. I have to ask you, how did you survive all those tedious moments in the state legislature?
You know what? It'll grow you up. But those are some of my close friends, and even though we fought and argued, you know, love them like family. So
that's interesting.
It was fun. It definitely keeps your blood going.
I bet. No, I've been to the one you were at and growing up in Tennessee and others. And
right.
And I think that's I'm glad to hear you say that, because when you watch this stuff on TV, you almost sense that everyone hates each other these days. But maybe that's just acting.
No, it can feel like we hate each other. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's some tough, you know. But you know what you're there for at the end of the day. And I always had confidence in my colleagues that we would do the right thing for each other for the state of Tennessee.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for the call.
And I'm a Democrat saying that. So yeah, appreciate you taking my call.
Well, I give you credit for making it as a Democrat in Tennessee. I lived there a long time. That's not a very blue state. Hey, great to have you on.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, brother.
Good to hear from you. Let's check out Shannon up next. Hey, Shannon, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, good to talk to you. It's been a while.
Thank you. Great to hear from you.
Yes, sir, absolutely. I want to preface what I'm about to say by saying that I am not a Florida Gators fan, nor am I a big fan of Urban Meyer. Never have been. And I'm certainly want to make sure that I make the point that I can't believe I'm agreeing with anything Buddy Martin has to say. But I think Tim Tebow is going to be great if this works for Jacksonville, the Jaguars organization, and just for the NFL. I mean, if you have to build a team of 53 men, or whatever the number is now, would you rather have 53 Tim Tebows and the characteristics and qualities that he brings to the table, or 53 of some of the more questionable qualities and characteristics we see in some of our professional athletes now?
Yeah, that's a good point. And Shannon, I think if you're at the other end, you may not be able to take a chance. But when you're at the bottom, you've got to build an organization first. And you have Tim Tebow at one end and Trevor Lawrence at the other. It's not a bad combination.
No, and I think you asked an interesting question a little while ago when you said, how is it possible that Tim Tebow, who hasn't played in the NFL for so many years, how is he dominating discussion on draft day over maybe the number one pick in the draft? You know, why is he so – and I personally feel like it's the same reason that when you drive by Chick-fil-A in the South, regardless of when you drive by, and I don't know if you experience this or not, but I know in Georgia we do.
Of course.
It doesn't matter what time you drive by. There's a line wrapped around that thing, and there are people directing traffic on how to get in line.
No, Shannon, I've been all over the country with Tim Tebow, and it's hard to describe when I've walked across the street in New York with Tebow and guys with jackhammers in their hands and hard hats drilling to try to fill in potholes, stop and talk to him. I mean, he has not only a uniform acclaim here, but it's global.
Well, he just does things the right way, Paul. And in our world today, I think our world is thirsting for people who will do things the right way and stand up for what they believe in. And he does that. And he represents, I think, a lot of what's good. And I certainly don't think it would hurt Urban Meyer to have Tebow around him as much as possible.
No, because I think Urban, Urban, this is a difficult thing for Urban Meyer. And, you know, there's no guarantee it will work. And, you know, sometimes you do need a wingman.
Well, as a lifelong Georgia fan, but at the same time as a lifelong college football fan, I watched Tebow when he was at Nice on the ESPN game against Hoover. I watched him all through college, watched him beat up on the dog multiple times. I am a Tim Tebow fan, not because of his athleticism or not because of, you know, his 40 time or he has a great release or whatever they want to say is his negative, but just because of the quality of person he is. And I think it just will be great for the league to get him in the league and get him active in the Jaguars organization.
Thanks, Shannon. Appreciate it. William is up next. Hey, William, go right ahead.
How you doing, Paul? I just got a couple questions. I wanted to ask about Tim Tebow at first, but everybody's been talking about it, so I want to ask you another question. Want to ask, who do you think is the greatest player, individual player, in Alabama history? Because I think that Devontae Smith has a case.
You know, you're right. He does have a case. I'm not sure. It's such a complex question because it almost depends on how old you are. And, you know, I need to think about it because, you know, I didn't see the Namaths and the Stablers play. So I don't know how to talk about that. I know, you know, you start getting individual players. And, you know, has there ever been anyone comparable to John Hanna, Derek Thomas? And you keep working your way through. And, you know, I'll tell you a quick story here. I asked Pat Dye 3 years ago, or 2 years ago, I can't remember which one it was. Here's a coach that spent 9 years at Alabama as an assistant under Paul Bryant. You know, how would he rank Tua Tagovailoa with Namath, Stabler, and the, he said he's the best quarterback Alabama's ever had. So, and now we may have seen a better one, and the wide receiver, Alabama's had wide receivers across the board, but has anyone ever done what Devontae did? I mean, it's a very complex question.
Right. Like career-wise, I don't see anybody stacking up to him. In his freshman year, he caught the game-winning touchdown in the national championship.
Right, right.
Won the Heisman his senior year. It's hard for me to find anybody else that has had a better career than Devontae Smith.
No one has ever run a better route, I can tell you that.
Absolutely. But what I wanted to ask about Tim Tebow is, who would you compare him to at playing tight end? I would look at Trey Burton, another guy from Florida, play quarterback, transition to tight end.
Right. I think that's a good one. The one thing I don't know is this, and you know, is what would Urban do with him at quarterback? Because I do think, remember who was a player in the Saints organization a couple of years ago? They used a lot. You know, I can't remember. Anyway, I'll think of it in a minute. But I think Tebow, in you know, it has versatility. I don't think it's only as a tight end. He could do some things at quarterback because he can. You know, he's not a great passer, but he's certainly capable. So it's a good point.
Right.
Thanks for the call very much. We have a couple more guests. We've been busy today with the draft and the Tebow story and so many others. We will continue with your calls right after this at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here and more phone calls at 855-242-7285. More guests to come on this Thursday afternoon. And Justin is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Hey there, Justin.
I had a couple questions for you. I wanted to start off, the guy that calls in, and every time he calls, he gives you his family lineage. Is that really necessary?
No, it's not. I think we all know, you know, when he served and who in his family works for the Huntsville Police Department and Fire Department, and he used to coach something. I've quit listening, but I'm glad. I thought I was the only person in the world.
No, me and my boss notice it just about every day he calls. But I also had another couple questions.
Sure.
I think it was last week you said that the Florida-Georgia rivalry had overtaken the Auburn rivalry. I was wondering how you could really say that, because the Georgia-Auburn or the Georgia-Florida rivalry hasn't dictated, you know, who is going to win the SEC yet, versus, you know, Auburn and Alabama. They're 2-2 the past four games. And it seems like that game can either tear Alabama's season apart or make Auburn.
Well, Justin, if I could interrupt you for 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
What I didn't say that, and I know you probably read it. Let me give you the entire context of what happened there. I was on WJOX in Birmingham on Monday morning 2 weeks ago, and Jim Dunaway asked me about Kirby Smart or Dan Mullen. I really don't remember which one it was. Hiring a coach that had previously been at the other school. And he said, how intense do you think this rivalry is right now? And I said, at this moment, I think it's the most intense rivalry in the SEC. And someone gleaned from that I had said it's bigger and better and wilder than the Alabama-Auburn rivalry. Now, I did say this, that I think the Auburn-Alabama rivalry has lost some of its luster. But the point being, I was talking about this moment in time. I mean, there's very few people in the industry that I'm in who have benefited more from the Iron Bowl than me. It was the embodiment of this program. You know that. And, yep. And you know, it was the centerpiece of a 30 for 30. So I understand everyone trying to do their own podcast and their own headlines. And that's fine. I don't care. That's what I do and that's what they do. But I'm not sure I've ever said anything that has been more misinterpreted than that.
Okay. I understand that. And I do believe I did actually read it versus hearing you say it. But the third thing I wanted to ask you about was the Brian Harsin hire and the staff he's put together. As an Auburn fan, I spent several years, obviously, with Gus Malzahn, very unhappy. And being a realistic fan, my prediction every year was 7-5, 8-4, somewhere in there. With Harsin, I feel like we're getting somebody that's a lot more attention to detail, somebody kind of Saban-esque, and somebody that's a little bit more driven, a little bit harder on the players. I was wondering if there was any way you thought we might go 9-3 this year.
Justin, now that I've gotten you off of my hate fan club, I'm going to put you right back in there. No, I don't. I don't see 9-3. And I've looked at the schedule a few times, and that would be remarkable, though. And we would be comparing Coach Harsin to Saban if that is the case. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Glad we could clear some things up. Harry is up next in Jacksonville. Good afternoon.
Yeah, Paul, this is Harry. Love the show. Love what you do, man. I just got a few questions. I'm a huge Vols fan. It's tough living in Jacksonville being a Vols fan. But I just want to ask, you think we got any chance this year winning the East in football?
Harry, let me think how many definitions I can come up with for the word zero.
Yeah, we have no hope. After the spring game, you know, I thought Harrison Bailey looked good, but, you know, I'm just not sure.
Harry, I don't want to tell you what kind of fan to be because that's your prerogative, but I would strongly recommend any Tennessee fan who thinks that there is a possibility of winning the East this year to, you know, maybe get some serious help, okay? Because I think 500 would be considered okay, not bad, because of the current roster. The schedule is not that difficult to get to a bowl game, but I think it's virtually impossible to get to the SEC championship game. At Florida, at Missouri, at Alabama, at Kentucky, right there, your dreams of going to Atlanta have already been shattered. Georgia at home. And I don't know what else I need to say, but I appreciate your question, though.
Right. Yeah, I appreciate it. And then we've got Pittsburgh there early on also, you know, hopefully, you know, we can get kind of those first three off the board. So maybe make a bowl game. But no, I don't think it's looking too good either.
But as a graduate of the school, I am proud that you have that much faith in the Big Orange that you would even consider asking me, though. All the best. That might be the question of the year. Do I think Tennessee has a chance to win the East? That's one I did not see coming today. Let's talk to George, who is in Louisiana. Hello, George.
Hello.
Hey there. Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. I was just watching the show there when Mac Jones and Landon Dickerson were sitting there and talking. And I believe I read where Landon Dickerson won the Remington Award.
Correct.
2 years ago, when they were playing LSU and LSU beat them, I watched him run and hit a guy that was defenseless, had his back to him. How in the world does somebody give an award to somebody that did something like that? He could have hurt that guy bad. That was bad sportsmanship, and I wonder what Paul thinks about somebody hitting somebody like he did. Do you remember that?
I really don't, but I'll go back and look at the video.
Oh, my God. Okay, get the video and look and see what he did. The guy was walking off, had his back to him, and he's running full speed and hits him in the back, with knocking down with his pads and all. And the guy didn't even have nothing to do with him. He was just a little old. He was number five, I think. He was a cornerback, and Dickerson did that. That made me just have complete no respect for this guy. That's just what I wanted to call in and say that.
Thank you. Ralph is up next. Hey, Ralph, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I was just wondering your thoughts. Women's basketball is going to get interesting with the hiring of Kim Mulkey at LSU.
I think it's one of the most ingenious hires I've ever seen. It's fantastic. She is so charismatic and energetic, and you don't need me to tell you how many national championships she's won. I think she's got it won't happen immediately, but I think she'll turn that program into a national power.
I agree. And second question about Tim Tebow.
Yes.
He's going to succeed anywhere anything he's going to do at, I think. He's that type of person. Hello?
Yeah, well, Tim is certainly unique. I don't know if it's a slam dunk that he's going to be, he's been at, remember something, he's been out of the NFL since 2012. He's had two comebacks, one with New England in 13 and with the Eagles in 15. It is not a guarantee, but he's also never played for Urban Meyer before in the NFL. We will take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And an update on the first round and all the baseball and softball, SEC Now, tonight at 10 p.m. And we've been talking a lot about Tebow, and I will say I've wondered about this throughout the afternoon, but I am particularly curious about how the Tebow story ended up getting leaked. Now, unless something happened recently, why did it come out today on one of the biggest days in the Jaguars' history? They're about to draft number one, about to draft a generational quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. And it is particularly intriguing because usually, guys like Ian Rapoport and Adam Schefter, they get these stories primarily from agents. It doesn't mean they only get them from agents. GMs, player personnel, coaches. I mean, there's a network. These guys are great, but usually there's an agent hotline. Same way in all these industries, when you start hearing about various moves in broadcasting or in anything else, the stories are usually leaked by agents. And I'm just trying to figure out what was behind this today. We don't know. Yeah, it may be a very legitimate story, it may not be, but I'm not sure if it wasn't legitimate, what was the purpose behind it? Let's get to the calls and talk to Mike, who is in North Carolina. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul, how's it going this evening?
We are doing great.
I can't believe you called for a psychiatric evaluation of a fellow Tennessee fan. It is floored me.
Well, you know what? Every Tennessee fan probably needs a psychiatric evaluation after the last 12 years.
That is a fact. If you had to put them all on a couch, it would be bigger than the state of Tennessee.
Yeah, I got on the couch wearing my orange jersey, and the doctor threw me off.
Oh, the legs fell off the couch a long time ago and caught on fire. So everybody's just staggering around dumbfounded, dreaming of winning the SEC East, which is not going to happen for quite some time. But I do feel like there's a little better vibe there right now than there has been in quite a while.
Yeah, no, I think there's reason to be optimistic, but there's always reason to be optimistic.
One of your previous callers' questions about the greatest player in Alabama history.
Who you got?
It's hands down Bo Jackson.
Well, he was talking about the University of Alabama.
I know. Roll Tigers is all I can say. They can take everybody that ever played at Alabama. I'd put Bo Jackson again.
Well, but the question was the greatest player in the University of Alabama history, not the greatest player in Alabama history. And that's why I said Devontae Smith. Now, Bo Jackson's the greatest athlete I've ever seen. That's not even debatable. And anyone who wants to debate that, give Jim Thorpe a call. Let's continue with more phone calls here. Mel is up next in Birmingham. Hey, Mel.
Hey, Paul.
How are you?
Great. How are you today? Thank you for all you do. And, of course, the Southeastern Conference, what can we say? Robert Ory on yesterday just made my day. I didn't find the information out until late yesterday evening. But as you know, Robert completed the requirements for his degree at the University of Alabama, and it just speaks volumes for Robert. 7 NBA championships, and his parents, former educators, and so Robert made the promise and went back and received his degree, and I think that's just outstanding, and it sets such a benchmark for these other young athletes. Although he accomplished 7 NBA championships, the most important reason besides the basketball was his college degree. So, but just wanted to give a shout out to Robert, and I hope a lot of young men will adhere and look to him as a role model.
Mel, that's a great suggestion. I wasn't aware of that, but thank you. Phil is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Phil.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today, sir?
Quite all right. Thank you.
Hey, I got a question for you. This might sound crazy, but it ain't no crazier than some stuff that I hear on your program. So, what would you think about the idea that some of these teams that are very well off, let's say Alabama, Ohio State, and along that line, that they could have two teams? I mean, expand to have two teams. I mean, I don't know. That's possible, ain't it?
Phil, I'm not sure I understand. In terms of expansion, we're talking about eight teams, not two teams.
No, I'm sorry. I said that wrong. So Alabama, for example, could have two football teams.
No, that's not going to happen. No, absolutely not.
Before you say no, let me ask you a question.
No, every school has a team. You're not having two different teams. That's professional. I appreciate the call, though, even though it was difficult to – maybe I misunderstood your question. We'll try again. Eli is up next in Arkansas. Hey, Eli, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. This is my second time calling you. Just wanted to ask you, where do you think the Hogs will end up at the end of the season in the SEC West?
I expect them to be at 500 or above,
mm-hmm.
which would get them a bowl game, which I think is the most important thing right now for an up and coming program. So that's my gut feeling. I've looked at the schedule a few times. It's a tricky schedule because of that Texas game, but I think they can do it. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. I like Arkansas very much. We are heading to the final hour. We have much to do, and an hour to do it in. Your phone calls continue right here at 855-242-7285.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.